Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Undefeated published a column called The Humbling of Cam Newton, and the column suggests that race played a huge role in Cam Newton signing for just over $1 million and hardly garnering any attention from other teams in the league. It continued saying, quote, there's no explanation for such a small contract for a once transcendent talent other than a league of mostly white executives viewing Newton as not worth the headache, a reputation Newton has not earned. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick joining us now. Mike, good to have you. It has been way too long, and I want to start with you. How big of a role do you believe racism played in the lack of interest in Cam Newton?
I don't think race played a big role in this. I think this was more so about Cam and his ability to not be on the field the last 2 years. When I think about his transition, you know, going through the injuries and trying to work through it, you know, I think about my 2 year hiatus, you know, going through that transition and trying to work through it. And when I came back, I didn't expect a lot. I knew I had to go out and earn everything that I wanted. I didn't expect a $10 million contract. I didn't expect a $30 million contract. I knew because I had to be evaluated in short order that was going to be the telltale sign of how, you know, I was perceived and what team I would go to, what money I would get, and will I play as soon as I wanted to play. You know, this is just a transition period for Cam, and I think it's going to help him more than it hurt him. You know, maturity-wise, a chance to step back, you know, look at his career, 9 years with the Panthers. What can I do moving forward? He's in a great spot with the New England Patriots. If it all goes well, Cam could be the long-term answer in New England. So I don't think race played a part of it. I think it was more so about the injury and being skeptical of what he could do coming back. Is he going to be the same? Got to evaluate him. And that's just the long and short of it.
But here's the thing, though, Mike. You do realize that Peyton Manning missed 19 months, had neck fusion surgery. Many of the doctors, even the coach team doctor, flunked him on the physicals. A lot of doctors would not pass him. He got $58 million to sign. Drew Brees ripped his arm out the socket. The Miami Dolphins flunked him on a physical. He got 6 years, $60 million with $10 million signing bonus. You see what we're seeing here, Mike, and I'm not saying, and I told Skip, I don't believe race was the predominant or the overwhelming factor, but I believe there is, because when you look at it, how many times you ever think, do you think that these general managers and owners, they ask white quarterbacks, do you got a tattoo? You have any piercings? Good, keep it that way. Dez Bryant, how many white players you think have ever been asked in a meeting, is your mom a prostitute? You see, it's undeniable. It's the elephant in the room, Mike. We don't like to talk about it, but we got to have these uncomfortable conversations. I can assure you, there has not been a general manager or player personnel director has ever asked a white quarterback whether his mom was a prostitute. You see, the thing is, from the time the inception of football in 1919 with the Acme Packer, until 1968, there were no black quarterbacks. Marlon Briscoe with the Denver Broncos. You see, when they say act like a quarterback, what are they telling you to act like, Mike? Because that's the only thing. Huh?
Nah, that was pretty much, you know, going back to the Marlon Briscoe days and, you know, the first black quarterbacks to ever enter the league. Oh, yeah, it was definitely a different standard that we had to live up to and, you know, the way we had to be, the way we had to walk and be perceived, you know, in terms of us getting that shot on the field. You know, we had to be squeaky clean. We had to be perfect. You know, that it wasn't the norm. It wasn't ideal. You know, I had a high school coach tell me that, you know, this world was very political. If you're going to play the quarterback position, then, you know, you have to look a certain way. You have to act a certain way. Part of the reason I made the comments when, you know, I was ignorant to the fact of what was going on with Kaepernick and, you know, in terms of him kneeling, you know, I didn't understand he was doing it for a certain cause. I was looking at it, the fact that he had an afro, and I'm, from what I've been told and taught, you know, this is the way you have to look, you know, similar to, you know, walking in the courtroom. You want to be at your best, you know, appearance wise, in order to make the judge, you know, try to give you a lighter sentence. It's something that we was just told or taught. And, you know, like I said, I don't feel like, you know, that played a part, because when I think about Cam, I think about production. I think about, you know, the injuries. I think about him having to come from that. But, you know, it just didn't resonate with me that race played a part in this. And, you know, I don't know what goes on. And, you know, the general managers, you know, rooms when they're talking or when they're discussing players. I haven't had to witness that or be a part of that. You know, I know some guys have. You know, it's very unfortunate, but that's what we're trying to transition from, you know, as a country right now. You know, we are a work in progress, and I won't sit and speak on that because I think things are different from Cam in this situation currently.
So, Michael, go one cut deeper with us here, because this undefeated article we're discussing had a line in it that says, Michael Vick rubbed white America the wrong way long before Bad News Kennels. So,
I read that.
Okay, so help us out. Early in your Atlanta experience, did you feel sort of racial backlash? And again, you weren't nearly as sort of demonstrative as Cam is.
Flamboyant.
you didn't celebrate the way Cam does. Maybe you didn't exactly dress and look the part of the upstanding white quarterback, but did you feel any backlash in those early years in Atlanta?
Well, you know, I felt a lot of backlash just from my play. When I think about those times, you know, I think about the games that we lost, and then I was the one getting blamed for losing those games. I was more upset about that, whether it came from a black person or white person, than anything. You know, my play meant everything to me. Everything outside of that, I didn't see. Whether I was stereotyped because, you know, my pants was baggy or my shirt was
the Fat Farm and FUBU, Mike. I remember.
The Fat Farm, FUBU, the RP-55, all that shit. You know, I can care less. I can care less about that. It didn't bother me. And maybe it was because of the conversation that stemmed from, you know, the conversations I had with my coaches when I was young. And, you know, I just put football before anything outside of that. I wasn't worried about my appearance or what people thought about me. I could only be me. And when I read that article, I was very disturbed because I was like, I hadn't done anything up until what happened with Bad News Kennels to make people look at me a different way. I was the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, I was the face of the National Football League, and I was, you know, I was very young and immature at the time, but I embraced that. That meant something to me. So I tried to walk that fine line because I was always trying to set examples for the next generation to come after me. That's all.
So the criticism you didn't like was about the way you were playing football. Go be more specific about bolting the pocket too quick to make a big run or what?
Yeah, I mean, Skip, it was a lot of downs that I wish I could have had back, a lot of pass attempts that I wish would have been a different outcome, a lot of plays that was called that I wish would have been different. Mm. And you can point the finger, you can blame a lot of people. At the end of the day, I always blame myself. And, you know, I was a very tough critic on myself, but when it came to the public, sometimes they didn't know what they was talking about. When it came to media sources and certain people who probably just had a personal vendetta against me, I felt like they were very inaccurate. So I took it upon myself to defend myself at times, and maybe I didn't say the right things, or it made me go into a shell and not want to deal with these people. So now you start to look like, you know, you just don't care, and then, you know, you start getting tagged and labeled and scrutinized even more. And it just gets out of control. And once it gets to a point where you have no control over it, you got to let go and just do your job, man. And that's all I ever tried to do. But it was very disturbing at times, and it was very heartbreaking. But I understood at the quarterback position, this is what you have to deal with. So you got to man up and deal with it.
Mike, you know, do you look back and say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have come, because you had the cornrows, you had the do-rag, you had the oversized T-shirt, you had the big chains hanging out. Do you look back and say, you know what, that might have caused people to look at me a certain way and judge me a certain way? It's like, this is not very CEO-like. This is not very quarterback-ish, because you was really the first guy. You what you did to the NFL is what Allen Iverson did to the NBA. Allen Iverson was showing up with oversized T-shirt, big jeans, do-rags and cornrows, and people like, and they changed the rules. They changed the rules in the NBA. They didn't do that for the NFL, but do you think that looking back at it, maybe I should have done some things differently?
Absolutely, Shannon. Let me tell you this. I grew up 4 blocks away from Allen Iverson. He was 4 years older than me. He went to the NBA, and we looked at that as something that was so monumental. My dreams of following his footsteps started when I went to Virginia Tech. And everything that guy did, everything he did, I marveled. Everything he did, I wanted to patent. And I wanted to duplicate. And, you know, I could care less about who thought or what people thought or what people were thinking. And when I got to Atlanta and I started to, you know, dress a certain way and I started to just be myself, I wanted to be like Allen. And, you know, I didn't understand at the time that it looked different. You know, it wasn't the ideal way to dress. And, you know, now that I look back on it, you know, it disturbs me, but I'm appreciative of the fact that I did it my way, and I did it in a way where, you know, I think a lot of kids can learn from it. And I don't think it's really a big deal anymore. I think fashion is something that people pay attention to, and it's very trendy. And I will say this. Arthur Blank came to me when I was growing my braids out, and he told me he thought it looked good. He thought it was a cool look. He didn't care. You know, but that was my guy. That was my man. It didn't come from, you know, outside sources. You know, he gave me the blessing. And not saying he said he thought it was, you know, the right thing to do. Or he cared nothing about me growing my hair. It was about my play on the field. And I respected that more than anything. Hmm.
So, Michael, I told my man across the table, Shannon, earlier in the show, it's not like Cam Newton is the first black quarterback. Obviously, we brought up Marlon Briscoe, Denver, 1969, first to start a game in the modern era. We can go all the way back to Fritz Pollard, 1923, was a black quarterback. Yeah. And I counted last night, 98 black quarterbacks have started games in the National Football League in the modern era. It's not maybe great, but it's not bad. I don't think black quarterbacks have been routinely discriminated against in the draft because there have been 23 black quarterbacks taken in the first round. 5 went first overall, including obviously you. So we come back to Cam. What's different about Cam? Well, he shattered a new mold. Nobody, black or white, has celebrated as a quarterback quite like Cam has. Is it fair to say that?
Yeah, I think it is. At the quarterback position,
yeah. No. Right, with the Superman, with the dab. And again, in 2015, America loved it because they were 15-1 on the way to the Super Bowl. But I told Shannon, in the end, it has been a little shocking to me that Cam didn't get a job with the Chargers, who I thought just desperately needed him to sell tickets to their brand-new billion-dollar stadium, or to Jacksonville, or to Chicago. We could go on and on. And if there is anything subliminally operating still in this league, there are a lot of older white men making the decisions. And maybe it's not a flat-out racist mindset that they have, but it's what I call an old-fashioned white mindset, that at that position, the most sacred position in pro football, you have to act a certain way. And Cam does not.
No.
So as long as he was going 15-1, okay, we're okay with that. But he's, over the last 4 years, 23-23 as a starter. Well, now you haven't bought any insurance with those older white, you know, old-fashioned decision makers who probably were raised racist by their parents, and maybe they're not racist now, but they have a white mindset of that's how that position is supposed to be played. And that's how you're supposed to act at that position. Mm-hmm. And when he does not, when he posts his Instagram posts that can be a little out there sometimes, I think the white decision makers say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to go there with Cam just yet.
It's only 32 teams in the National Football League. And it's only 32 quarterbacks that can represent their team on Sundays. And I think for the most part, where it all starts, is your production. This league is a what have you done for me lately league, and that's never going to change. In terms of attitudes and in terms of maturity level, that'll always be scrutinized. White, black, and indifferent, you'll always be you know, judged based on how, you know, you treat the guys around you. If you're a leader within the locker room, if you're a leader on the field, how you treat, you know, the guys in the upper management, you know, how you treat the scouts, how you treat the ball boys, how you treat people when you're out in the community, you know, how you, you know, carry yourself, you know, 24 hours out of the day. That's what it's going to come down to. Black, white, and indifferent at the quarterback position. And look, that's just how I carried it. That's how I, you know, made my mark in the National Football League. Look, you respect me, I respect you. You respect my boundaries, I respect yours. And we don't have to take it anywhere no further than that. You know, leave it right there. And that's why I stood. Look, regardless of my color, I never cared. You know, treat me fair, I treat you fair.
Well, Nathan Peterman and Chase Daniels must be treating everybody really, really well, because they couldn't play dead in a horror movie, and they got Ben Minkin more money than Cam Newton. That's all I'm going to say about that, Vic.
Cam's gonna get his money, man. I didn't expect Cam to make a lot of money. I mean, Shandy, I mean, be honest. Did you expect Cam to get a 10-year contract?
No, 10-year deal? I expected him to get like $8, $9 million. I didn't expect him to get $500,000.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You got to go work for it. Let me tell you, my first contract was only $1 million and had an option for $5 million. You know what I did, Shannon? I went and got that $5 million. And hey, after that, I went and got
Mike,
some more.
Think about how long ago that's been. That's been 12, 13 years. And you got making $450,000 more in guaranteed money than what Cam got.
And Shannon, that's why I was saying, coming off that injury, he got to show that he can still whip it. He got to show that he can still run it. He got to show that he can still. And look, I would tell Cam the same thing if I talked to him today. Cam, you know you have to go show and prove. Sky's the limit for you. It's right there in front of you. And he got to be excited about that. He got to be hungry. And according to his videos and what he done posted and what he's been showing, let's sit back and watch what happened.
Yeah, according to those videos, you're right, Michael. He looks ready. He's saying it's about respect, not about the money. And we're going to be watching to see how it all plays out for him.
No mercy.
Of a pool of anonymous sports agents done by The Athletic, two said that Dak Prescott and the Cowboys' inability to get a long-term deal done has been the most surprising event this offseason. One agent went so far as to call it a, quote, big miss for Dallas. Michael Vick is still with us. Michael, do you agree here?
I agree that it's a big miss if they can't get this guy signed to a long-term contract. Dak has did everything that he's supposed to do. And it seemed like we've been talking about this for the last 2 years consistently, and I'm getting tired of it. They go out and bring in Andy Dalton, and you know, we question, you know, what that move was about. I know it's important to have good quarterbacks on the roster. I've been a part of that. I learned from Andy Reid the best. He always wanted to have quarterbacks who could step in if a guy can't get the job done. But it's hard to find good quarterback play. And if there's a motive behind it, not being able to get Dak signed, I think it needs to be said. Dak needs to know. He probably does at this point. And, you know, like I said, to find a right quarterback in this league, a guy who can play, you know, 16 games, you know, and through the postseason, when you find the guys who can do that, you got to hold on to those guys. And, you know, even though all these deals now are really just 2 to 3 year deals because they're getting paid all the money, you know, up front, you know, just ride that out. You know, you got to give it a 3-year trial run. And now that he's with Mike McCarthy, this is more reason for them to get the deal done and move on, so people don't have to worry about this no more. Dak don't have to worry about it. He'll be comfortable, and he'll probably go out and play a lot better if this happens.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And then Skip and I have gone back and forth about this, and Skip has told me since we started this show coming up on our 4-year anniversary, September 6th, Skip Bayless. Skip told me that the quarterback position is the most valuable, the most important position in all of pro sports.
Like times 100.
Regardless, okay. More important than the point guard, the center, the pitcher, mm-hmm. The quarterback is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And teams, more times than not, they blow it trying to find that guy. The Cowboys stumble upon the guy. They walking down the road, they kicking cans all of a sudden. They look over there, and there's a big old bag of money. And they go in and they open up the bag. It's like, ain't no die. Ain't nobody claim it. The serial numbers are non-consecutive. Mm-mm. Oh, all right, I'm not supposed to say that. But anyway, they got a nice big old bag of money, Mike. And that's what they got with that. Now, all of a sudden, they look at every reason why, well, you know he didn't make the playoffs last year. Well, you know he didn't make the Pro Bowl last year. And when the player selected at top 100, he wasn't the top 100. But there was none of that when he was winning Rookie of the Year. There was none of that when he was taking the team to the playoff. Now, all of a sudden, they find every reason in the book why not to give Dak that money. Now, they say, well, he's more comparable to Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. But what they won't tell you is that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz had 2 years left on them deals when they got the long-term security. Dak Prescott got no long-term, got no deal, got no years left on his contract, and those other guys got $28 and $26 million guaranteed at the time of the signing their first contract. Poor little Dak made like $2 million his whole contract. And now they want him to give them the discount that Goff and Wentz gave their team. Dak says, I wish I might. Pay me. 4 years, 5 years, $200 million.
Break the bank.
Oh, and an extra $15 million because you haven't said Black Lives Matter yet. So, Jerry, I'm calling on you for that.
You could be right. That's a touche. You got me on that one. Okay, Mr. Vick and Mr. Sharp. Nobody in the known world has defended and supported Dak Prescott more than I have. You are right, Mr. Sharp. He fell out of heaven into our laps out of the fourth round. He was clearly immediately better than Tony Romo ever thought about being. He is a solid citizen, face of the franchise. He's what you bank on going forward. But in the end, bottom line, is he Patrick Mahomes? Even I can't go there. I can't. I'm sorry. And we don't know this for a fact, but I have been told that Dak and his relatively new agent, CAA, Todd France, have been asking for Mahomes-esque money. It's $42, $43 million a year. Patrick got $45 million a year, obviously, for 12 years. But that's the echelon they want to be paid in. And I can't support or defend that much. And Jerry Jones is notorious for overpaying his stars. He slightly overpaid Zeke, at least for the bang for his buck he got last year, which was not enough. He way overpaid for DeMarcus Lawrence. Coming off the edge, he didn't get that edge rusher that he had the previous year before he got his, what's he make, $21 million a year? $21 million a year? Amari Cooper just got $100 million more, $20 million a year. Because he was free, and the Washington Redskins wanted him, and the Dallas Cowboys said, no, we'll pay you whatever it takes to keep you.
Yep.
So here we go with Dak Prescott. Now we're talking about quarterback money, and it's the kind of money that if you overinvest, you will be strapped with. You will be handicapped by for the next 5 years, and it's a big risk. It's a big plunge for a plunger out of the oil fields named Gerald Wayne Jones Jr. And he's saying even that's too rich for my blood. So he's saying I can't go there, but there's got to be a middle ground because he offered him $35 or $36 million. At the time, it would have made him the highest paid player in pro football. Dak wants up in the 40s. I don't condemn him for this. I just can't say, yeah, you're worth that much. You haven't shown me that much. He's 1-2 in the playoffs. It's not bad. It's not great. So in the end, all I know is the Hall of Famer across from me last year, after Dak sort of pulled the rug out from under Jerry after the first three games and said, no, we up our price. We want 40-some million. And Jerry got angry about it. And then over the next 13 games, to your point, Michael Vick, he didn't play as well. I think he pressed. And my partner across the table gave him Fs, as in fail, 7 times out of the last 13 games. That's more than half those games. Big F, fail. And it's maybe he was right about that. And Jerry Jones was listening to Shannon Sharp because he said, no, Dak, I can't go there. Stay here with me. 36, 37, maybe can we stay right there? Is there some compromise? My team is right there. It's really good. It's loaded with weapons and star power, and the defense is much better than it was last year. Here we go. But the quarterback needs to get on board with just a little bit of compromise, and it doesn't feel like we're going to get there.
40 mil.
Ugh.
I said 35 to 37 was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that would have been
Me
the match
too.
Made in heaven.
A lot of
it
money.
Was enough to make the train go. And, you know,
yep.
You got to think about the free agents that you want to bring in and year out. You got to sign other guys. You got to make sure that the roster is stacked in order to compete. One man getting all the money, you know, it kills the whole show. So
it does.
It should have been a happy medium. And with Patrick Mahomes' contract, it didn't do any justice to any of the quarterbacks who should be signing, who will be signing in the next couple years, because you know the contract is very different, and Patrick is Patrick. So,
but here's the thing.
It all remains to be seen.
Skip keep talking about they snatched the rug out from under. You know, it's funny. You know, I go to the store occasionally. I do a little shopping on my own. Most of the time, I send somebody to go get it for me. But it just so happened I was at the store, and this was like right pre-COVID, and I was looking at the price of eggs. I was like, oh man, let me get some eggs right quick. And then I go back a week later when COVID hit, and egg prices are going up. So that's what Dak did. Dak said, hold on, Jerry. I just threw for 400, three touchdowns, threw for three touchdowns, 300. The price went up.
Well, time out. It was against New York and Washington and Miami.
Hold on. Mike, are those NFL teams? That's what he
Barely.
Told me. That's what he told me.
Barely.
Oh, yeah, do the Giants play in the NFL? Yeah, I said, yes, Skip, they play in the NFL. Okay, so that's what he did.
They are considered professionals. Yeah, they are considered professionals.
But here's the problem that they have, Mike. If you look at all these guys, Jared Goff had 2 years left. Wentz had 2 years left. Russell Wilson had a year left. Aaron Rodgers had 2 years left. Patrick Mahomes has 2 years left, and they could have franchised him. The same thing with Goff. So Dak says, hold on, wait a minute. You didn't give me long-term security. Remember, you sent me, you fed me to the wolves. You sent me out to the wolves. I just happened to come back leading the pack. Now, I want my money for making it back. $40 million. I'm going to split the difference. Russell got 35. Mahomes got 45. $40 million. For 5 years, $200 million with $100 million guaranteed, fully.
Hey, this is the reason I say Dak should have been paid by now. Because of his rookie campaign, it's hard for a rookie quarterback to go and play 16 games and be productive doing it. And then he come back the second year, and it wasn't as good. And then the third year, I mean, he's done more than enough. And then the Andy Dalton move, I mean,
Skip said Dak Prescott's rookie season was the greatest rookie season for a quarterback in NFL history.
It was.
So Mike Vick said, and Skip Bayless said, he should be paid on that alone.
I mean, I agree. I don't know if it's the greatest rookie campaign. I know Matt Ryan had a great rookie campaign.
Well, I've been going about what Skip said. I don't know that much about it. I've only been watching football like 6 months.
I'm not in the Hall of Fame. So, Michael Vick, bottom line, just your best guess. Do they compromise and make a deal in the next 24 hours?
No. I don't think it's enough time to get a deal done. No.
Oh, Mike, that is not what Skip wanted to hear. No. Seriously, 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, that is the deadline. At this point, we'll see. Michael, so good to see your face and hear from
you.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a good one, Mike.
No mercy.
During the Athletics anonymous agent survey on NFL offseason signings, one agent said, all of a sudden, the Buccaneers are good and the Patriots are bad, mostly because of Tom Brady leaving for Tampa. The agent said, quote, I don't know that any single player ever had that dramatic of an impact in free agency. Shannon, I'm very intrigued. What you think about this? Do you agree?
Skip, I agree, because we saw Brady leave the Patriots, and I'm not sure they had a succession plan. Now, Coach Belichick might think they do. He might think Jared Stidham Osteen is the guy that he wants to replace Brady. Skip, but then look, I think what's spoiled is that when you look at, you see San Francisco, they go from Montana to Steve Young. But Steve Young was the MVP even before Montana walked out the door. And we see the plan that Green Bay had in place. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. They sat him for 3 years. Favre goes out the door. Rodgers steps in. They don't miss a beat. But it's rarely that happens, Skip. You look at teams, and you look at the Marinos, and you look at the Elways, and these great quarterbacks, when they leave, yeah, you struggle. You take it on the chin. You look at the Steelers. They struggled until they basically got Big Ben. Yeah, they had a few years. They had some success. But when you lose a quarterback that's been in Trent for basically 20 years and you don't have a follow-up plan. Now, we don't know what Stead's going to be. But Cam is like, why y'all talking? That's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, you just said that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Skip, for me, It is, because we don't normally see this. We don't normally see a quarterback play this long, Skip. He normally say, you know what, I'm done. Boom. So not because we did see this with Peyton, even though they got luck, it took them going 2-14 the season that Peyton didn't play in order to get luck. Mm-hmm. And it lets them know that, man, if you don't really have a backup, it got cost Bill Polian his job. Because it's like, you should have prepared for this. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a guy that's never missed a game. Skip, how do you prepare for a guy that comes to work every single day, every single year? How do you prepare for his absence? You can't. Just like Tom Brady. Tom Brady showed up to work with the exception of 2007, the 15 games, every single day, every single game. He was there. So how do you prepare for that? So for me, Skip, yeah, it's going to have a ripple effect. Because, yes, he makes Tampa better. But in the same breath, he took so much steam out of the room in New England.
So, timeout. Did I just hear what I think I just heard?
What?
I heard Shannon Sharpe co-sign and say that he agrees with something that was said very positively about Tom Brady. This is a first on Undisputed.
No, I thought you would laugh at it.
Maybe you're seeing the light.
Ain't no light, Skip. Yeah. But I mean, look, would I feel better if the guy had a little bit more pedigree? He had played like 3-4 years in college, and I had a big, like you say, sample size to see what he's done. Even if he's done something in the NFL.
You're talking about Stid.
It's Stid. Yeah, okay. Because, Skip, we had seen Steve Young play. Mm-hmm. He had played playoff games for the 49ers. So we know, and he'd won the MVP. So there was no question. Now, would he ever be Joe Montana? No, he didn't need to be. But he was a damn good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what we're getting with, and then you're replacing that.
Okay, so the agent is saying, I don't know that any single player ever had the dramatic impact in free agency that Tom Brady just had.
Right.
Ever. Well, as I recall, I guess we could check the tape, I believe I told you that the first day it happened. Mm-hmm. This is unprecedented.
Right.
Everything seems unprecedented right now, but this is unprecedented.
Yeah. Right.
Because he left a roster that is now being judged, ranked as middle of the pack.
Right.
For a team known as the Buccaneers, who had the worst winning percent, mm-hmm. still have the worst winning percentage in all of sports history. The Buccaneers, who went 7-9 last year and missed the playoffs.
Right.
And all of a sudden, people are talking about Tampa Bay, as in Tampa Bay, as at least a Super Bowl contender.
Definitely playoff contender.
Maybe a long shot Super Bowl contender, mm-hmm. but they have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Not bad to come from 7-9.
Right.
Well, this guy's 43 years of age, so that's historical impact.
Correct.
And again, I have no idea what Belichick is thinking. I would give you and the bet that we have about who's going to have the better record
right.
between New England and
Tampa
a lot better shot if Cam Newton is the starting quarterback on day one. You know, then you got a shot.
Right.
Because we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. He is going to play angry
right.
if he gets that shot. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what Belichick's thinking. Does he want a Cam package of plays? Does he want to use Cam as the stand-in? I have no idea.
Right.
He seems to have a soft spot for Stid.
Right.
He seems to have a plan that, oh, I found my new Brady, this time in the fourth round. Right. I got my new diamond in the rough.
Right.
Jared Stidham from also Auburn University.
Right.
Right.
Well, we thought he had a soft spot for Brady because even though when Drew Bledsoe got healthy, he wouldn't give Drew Bledsoe that job back, even though Drew was campaigning for it behind the scenes.
Yep.
And Coach Belichick's like, nah, I'm going with him. So we thought he had a soft spot for Brady. And maybe it was soft in the beginning, but maybe he turned into the Grinch and it hardened.
Maybe.
Because for whatever reason, and I think, Skip, when you look at, go back to free agency started, if I'm not mistaken, in 93. Skip, when you look at it, we've never seen a quarterback leave like this.
Mm-mm.
Not just walk out the door. I mean, you normally try to get some, unless he's injured. Now, we saw Drew Bledsoe walk out the door, but he was injured.
Yep.
Peyton Manning walked out the door, he was injured. Tom Brady, from all we have, no indication that he was injured in any shape, form, or fashion.
Maybe a little banged up.
Right, right. Yeah. But wear and tear for being about to be 43. Mm-hmm. So we've never seen a quarterback just walk out the door.
Nope.
And you got no compensation for it.
Mm-mm.
Even the Packers traded Favre.
They did.
So normally that's what we see. So I'll agree, Skip, is that because him going to Tampa, and it gave Tampa a real hope. They're talking playoffs. The fans are actually talking playoffs. You hear the players.
Well, I think they're talking more than playoffs.
But consider they got to start with that. Consider they hadn't been in the playoffs in such a long time. No. Listen, before we catch a marlin, can we catch a bass first? Can we catch something small? Something that we know we can get to the shore.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'll agree. I'll agree, Skip. It was a seismic shift because he weakened one and strengthened another.
Okay. In the end, we're going to see
right.
on the field. If Brady has declined the way you think he's declined, maybe he can't live up to the weapons around him.
Right.
If Jared Stidham is a product of the genius of Bill Belichick, if he starts game one and starts to light it up the way Brady once did, then advantage Belichick, right?
Well, Coach Belichick going to get huge credit. They mess around and win the division without Tom Brady.
Yeah. Especially if they did it with Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam is Cam.
Right.
And he was just 5 years ago, the MVP of the league, so
right.
Belichick wouldn't get as much credit for Cam Newton. No mercy.
Pro Football Focus ranked every NFL team's group of wide receivers, and Skip's Cowboys took the top spot thanks to the addition of CeeDee Lamb in the draft to go alongside Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. The Bucs were second and Falcons third, but it was all the way down at six where you found Patrick Mahomes' group of receivers. So, Shannon, how much do you disagree here?
I disagree with it. You know I disagree with it. And you disagree with it. Now you,
I do not.
You, hold on. You keep telling me Amari Cooper, he quit. You told me he quit against the Jets. He quit against the Eagles. He quit against the New England. Mm-hmm. And now this.
Is it my turn?
No, it's not your turn. I know. Skip, there's no way they should be number one. And they're basing this on what? What they believe CeeDee Lamb might do? Every receiver, oh, he's going to light it up. But every receiver doesn't light it up.
Mm.
Until he does it, then I'll believe it. I keep telling you, Skip, that's how I operate. God says, trust me, I'll show you. I'm man. I'm not God. Show me, I'll trust you.
Oh.
See, that's what I do. You got to show me before I trust you. So I don't trust it just yet. No, I'm taking what I know. I'm taking proven commodities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking KC. I'm taking Hardman, Watkins, Reek. Give me them.
Mm.
I'm going to also take the Saints. Mike Thomas. You want Mike Thomas or you want Amari? Mm. Thank you. You want Emmanuel Sanders or you want Gallup? Because I know Emmanuel Sanders is a two-time Pro Bowl player who's played big in a Super Bowl, who's played big in the playoffs. I'm taking him over Gallup.
Mm.
So, no, I don't agree with this ranking. First of all, you should be really upset. Jerry Jones should be really upset with himself because guess what? With these rankings, okay, supposedly he got a top receiving core. He's got a top five offensive line. He got a top 10 defensive lineman. He got a top 10 wide receiver. He got a top five running back. And what he got to show for it?
Mm.
Nothing.
Okay, I will buy that. But we do have this to show.
We got
the best receivers in pro football, according to the source, Pro Football Focus. At least I agree with
them
today.
Well, they need to do some more focusing because they're out of focus with this one.
They're out of focus. Way back in September, you happened, just as an aside, to say, and of course we all know Jerry Jeudy is the best receiver in college football.
Yep.
And I interrupted you. We're going to break.
Yeah.
And I pushed the brake back a little bit because I could not let you get away with that. I said, no, he's not. CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver in college football. What? CeeDee Lamb? You hadn't focused on him just yet. And then he kept catching balls, as we saw the year before. Jenny was there many times to watch him catch another one and break another tackle and another tackle. He dominated the Texas Longhorns. He dominated D1 college football last year, in which he led with 21.4 yards per reception. That's extraordinary. Half of that, a little more than half of that, came after catch. What did I keep telling you? CD is no lamb after catch. He is a lion after catch. I told you, and then little did I know, thank you, speaking of God, thank you, God. He fell into our laps at 17th overall. And everybody said, what? Dallas got CeeDee Lamb? And all of a sudden, Dak's MVP odds went through the roof. It's all because of this kid who's going to play like a man. I believe in him. I'm putting extraordinary pressure on him because I believe immediately he will challenge Amari as the number one. Michael Gallup was emerging as one of the best intermediate and deep threats last year in pro football. So if all of a sudden, what if Amari wakes up about game three or four and says, well, I think I'm a third option here. I'll take Amari as the third option.
Hello, you paid a third option, 20 million?
Yeah, okay, but we kept him away from our arch rival, so that's the cost of doing business. And all of a sudden, if CeeDee Lamb is what I think he's going to be, here we go, because he will lift the other two. Maybe he will inspire Amari. You know, Amari's one of those kids who has extraordinary ability.
Yes.
He's not a kid anymore. He's a young man. But he needs to have his button pushed. And right now, when he just feels like I'm the number one and Michael Gallup is sort of emerging, but he thinks he's still the guy. Yeah. Wait until he walks into this locker room with this guy.
Man, I can't try to be pushing no. I'm paying you $20 million. I can't be pushing no buttons.
Well, he'll get his button pushed by this guy. So all of a sudden, they're putting this all on CeeDee Lamb. I feel validated. I feel vindicated. I feel like here we go.
Well, Skip, all I know is the past 2 years, he was not the best receiver in football. Jerry Jeudy won the Blitnikoff Award, and then I think the Jefferson kid or one of the other kids from LSU won it last year.
Yep.
Was Jeudy playing with college football then?
No.
I mean, he played, and think about it, he played with Heisman Trophy guy.
Jeudy was playing on a track team at Alabama. They had two go in the first round this time, and one went before Jerry Jeudy went. Ruggs went before Jeudy. Fastest guy in the draft.
Your guy was playing with two guys that were first pick in the draft, and the other guy went in the second round and was the first or second pick in the second round.
Last year, he was by himself.
Oh, he was by himself.
It was him or bust.
Your guy finished second in the Heisman. Yeah, what about
– because of him. Doesn't that 88 looks good on him? Woo!
First of all,
you will live up.
I don't know. Y'all keep on selling Sammy Watkins short and Miko Hardman. Skip, we got a track team out. They got a track team out there.
Pro Football Focus says that Sammy Watkins has turned into mediocre, and Miko Hardman has not yet emerged as what he might be.
So what has CeeDee Lamb emerged? Where does he emerge from?
I already told you. I'm betting it all on him. I'm all in. Put it all right here.
Did you see Sammy Watkins?
I'm going eye test college football. Here we go.
Have you seen Sammy Watkins in the playoff? Did you see what he did?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what he's capable of, right?
His productivity has dropped the last couple of years. Even you would agree with that.
He can't stay healthy.
If we throw in Travis Kelce, it's all...
No.
We're just doing wideouts, okay?
But we got Reek.
Okay, you got Reek, and he makes DBs reek. You know, they do. Yeah. They reek after they try to chase him. I give you that. Just on pure explosiveness, Dallas doesn't have that. Dallas just has three. And Pro Football Focus points out, they were just 11 yards shy last year of having the number one three in production with Randall Cobb.
Yes.
Obviously, he went to the Texans.
Right.
Well, watch what happens. CD's going to line up in the slot a lot, and they won't be able to deal with it.
I mean, Skip, you make it seem like a Randall Cobb had like 50 yards. Randall Cobb had 100. Yeah.
Great. This guy's better.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb or Randall Cobb? I think I'll take CD.
I'm going to take Tex Cobb.
Yep. Here we go.
Shannon, Skip and I have been trying to help you.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb stuff.
You wouldn't listen.
You realize that, you know, we're not going to let you join the bandwagon late once
good.
He starts producing.
I'm good.
Oh, you're good. Okay. We'll see about that. We'll see.
No mercy.